720 WGN. Good morning, 236. I'm Mark Carmen, it for Matt Bubala. So I don't know why, but it's almost like I feel like I have to like tiptoe around it, like how much I'm gonna miss the president. Like I know that Barack Obama's not a perfect person. I wish that in a lot of ways he had done more, and I'm sure he does too. But I just really enjoyed having that guy in office. Like, I just did. I liked listening to him. I liked what I considered him to be incredibly fair and balanced and intelligent and interesting. And just had a wide variety of interests. His background is fascinating. Mixed racial parents and being raised by a white mom who's teaching him that being African American is cool. Like, that part is super interesting to me. You got a white mom who is telling him, hey, young son, you are black. And by the way, black is cool. And that's how he sort of learned to be able to basically be cool with everyone, like the way I would put it. Like, he thought it was great being black, and he was cool with white people, too. It's just a very interesting bring it up. And just, like, it's just a really interesting dude. Slash president. And whatever, he got his two terms. I was worried when he got elected first that he wouldn't get a second. And for a while there, it was pretty dicey. And that was a closer election than one people want to talk about. But even for those who did not perhaps enjoy the outgoing president, I want to give you an opportunity to say like one thing that you liked about him. And for those of you who are diehards who love him, feel free to 312-981-7200. I was thinking before the show, 312-981-7200. What will you miss most about Barack Obama, or what, or anything you just really enjoyed about him? Love to hear your thoughts. I was kind of putting my own little top five list together before the show, and I didn't spend a ton of time on this. It was just kind of off the top of my head. So one of the things that I thought about, you know, and I always enjoyed when the president, outgoing president, would break into a little song.
And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. So in love with you. Those guys didn't think I would do it. I told you I was going to do it. And the Sandman did not come out. Don't worry, Rev. I cannot sing like you, but I didn't. I just wanted to show my appreciation.
So a little humor, a little song. We're talking about things we love or will miss or appreciated about the outgoing president, Barack Obama. 312-981-7200 all over the map here. But that's the beauty of the overnight. That's why I love it. So here's another. There's my second thing that I really appreciate about the president. I love how he dotes and loves on his wife. Oh, I caught Elf off guard there. The love of Michelle Obama. You know what? It's also a thing I love about you, Badish. You have great respect, and you speak so sweetly of your wife. There's so many dudes out there.
She's my wife, a very strong person.
My wife this, my wife that. I like it. I like this type of stuff.
Needing or seeking the stability that was lacking in your own family experience, reaching out to Michelle and her family. Tell me what you were looking for, what you were searching for, and whether or not you found that.
Well, you know, I traveled extensively when I was young. I didn't have a father in the house. I grew up in places as diverse as Hawaii and Indonesia. So in many ways, it was a wonderful childhood because I got to know so many different parts of the world and so many different cultures, but it also meant that I never felt that I had a place, a community that was mine. And Michelle had the complete opposite upbringing. And she was, I always say, you know, she had a Ozzie and Harriet, you know, Leave It to Beaver childhood. You know, she had the mom and the dad, and mom was at home, and the brother, all they were missing, I think, was the dog. And, you know, they were in one place all of her childhood. And so one of the things that she had was a stability and a sense of place that I think was very complementary to my traveling everywhere. And it's that stability that we've been able to provide to our daughters that's been very important to me as well.
How did that make you feel, becoming a part of her family and a part of that community in Chicago?
Well, the community that she grew up in Chicago had become my community, my adopted community, because I had worked there before I even went to law school and knew Michelle. So the South Side of Chicago was my home at that point. There's no doubt that having her uncles and cousins everywhere, you'd meet them on the streets, they'd come over, and you'd have these big Thanksgiving or Christmas dinners, and people are telling stories, and little kids are running around. It really gave me a sense that our children would be able to grow up in this embracing family that I think can be so powerful and so important.
How did they receive you? How did you interact with her family when you first met? How these families came together?
I mean, we got along surprisingly well, as different as my upbringing was. It was very Midwestern, and I think Michelle's family is very Midwestern. And so, you know, the first time we got together, this was during, right before the wedding, the families came together, although we had met each other's families separately. You know, they immediately took to each other. They, you know, ate the same foods. They laughed at the same jokes. And so it was a really good fit. And I loved Michelle's dad, who passed away before the wedding. He was just a wonderful man. Here's a guy who for 20, 25 years went to work every day, never got a college education, had multiple sclerosis, and yet supported his family, gave great love to his children. He was really a wonderful, wonderful person.
So I just like that story there, a little of the background and how two people coming together and sort of meshing perfectly. This is what I'm familiar with. This is what you're familiar with, and all being better as a tandem, so to speak. I thought that was just a really nice story. That's why I chose that particular piece. But he's always doting on his wife, right? Love, 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 love. He did it this past Tuesday night in Chicago, which I thought was, you know, obviously fitting, and one of the last things he said, and that's when he got a little bit emotional. So, by the way, Patty Vasquez is texting me saying that her limo that came out here, which that was a limousine, she's saying it's just a Lyft driver. I don't know if I believe you, Patty.
Wait a minute, a limo?
Well, it wasn't a
limo. Was it a stretcher or just a black car?
It's like a black SUV expanded situation.
Well, then that's probably it could be a Lyft or Uber.
Okay, fair enough. At any rate,
fancy one. But.
Yeah. Listen, Patty deserves that. Patty should travel in style. That's how I expect.
Always.
That's right. I mean, I really think that Patty should be picked up in a helicopter after a show and whisked back to her palatial estate as quick as possible. I mean, I don't think she should have to travel on the roads, really.
No.
And I'm surprised that WGN hasn't figured that out yet.
A heated helicopter. Not one that just pulled off of, you know, guard duty over somewhere.
Right.
You know.
And I am going to go to management after the show is over and leave a message underneath the door of both Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez.
You going to sign it?
And Jackie Pauls and Jeff Hill and Dave Ennett and Steve Cochran and Rokan and Judy Pilak.
Wow.
And I'm gonna make a plea to get things right around here. Okay. Might be getting a little out over the old skis here. Okay, quick timeout. Going to get in the 3 o'clock hour. I got a couple more things. on a little tribute to the outgoing president here. 312-981-7200. You want to jump on in? What will you miss the most about Barack? And we have some stuff coming up too in the 3 o'clock hour from the Cubs convention, and some fun as well. I got a little bunch of fun topics for you that we're gonna call it Elif's topics. At some point, Elif sent so many great links this week. You was so proactive on the show. And there's certain things in there that are just so you, Elif, that I'm going to call it like the Elif. Oh,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain stuff that just speaks to your personality. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Quick timeout. 3 o'clock news next. 720 WGN. We're doing a little tribute to Barack Obama as he is leaving office. What will you miss the most? Brian calling in 312-981-7200. What's up, Brian? Welcome to WGN. Hang on, Brian. Now you can speak. Go ahead, Brian. What's going on, my friend?
Not much, young man. How are you? I hope everything is good in your new year and that.
Back at you, Brian.
And thank you. I was watching Channel 5 earlier tonight. They had a special. It was after the Blackhawks game. So, but anyways, I flipped it on and had Lester Holt interviewing Barack Obama on his presidency and the moments and that he was talking about himself. And one of them was real, real poignant. By that, I mean he started talking about those church members that got shot up by one that was recently convicted. And he did the eulogy for the reverend. And so they started playing that tape. And as he was doing the eulogy, he came pretty close to the end of what he was saying, and then all of a sudden broke out into the song Amazing Grace. I almost fell out of my chair.
Brian,
and it was really, really touching.
Brian, courtesy of Elif, I think we have been able to locate this moment in time. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go,
absolutely.
Pal.
Absolutely. I think you'll like it, too.
Absolutely. Here you go, brother.
Yep. I'll miss him.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
There you go, Brian. I appreciate it. See? We are a full-service radio station right here, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. So, other things that I'll miss, let's go to the sports one here, Elif. So, the dude would be on ESPN shows doing his bracketology, picking the NCAA tournament. And he had the hoop court at the White House. And so this is him with Clark Kellogg, longtime CBS sports commentator, of course, played for Indiana, all that. So they're playing a little game of horse.
But we'll see. How about if we play for my
okay,
job right here?
All right, let's go.
See what you
Where
got.
Where we got? Three right here?
Yeah.
All right. You know I shoot under pressure.
I know that. You handle pressure well. Okay, there's your first letter. That's your P.
Right, I got P.
All right, here's the pressure. He's knocking this one down.
That's money.
Boom! Oh, I thought it was
That's
in the hole.
Good. All right, I got Pope.
So are you going to get a chance to watch some of the action this weekend, Mr. President? Will you watch the Final Four at all?
I will definitely watch the games. And if I get skunked...
You're not going to miss that one.
Then I guess... You're going to have to keep your job, aren't you?
Yeah, I am going to keep my job. Let me hear you talk about what the tournament, what you've been able to see from the tournament so far this season.
You know, this has been probably one of the most balanced tournaments that we've seen. Yeah.
So there you go. Little horse, a little knowledge of a balanced tournament. Like, I just, I like a politician who can speak to the sports fan. Roger, is that wrong?
No.
Am I allowed to, can we, and I know that the incoming president-elect apparently does play some golf, but I like my president to play some hoops. You know, get out there, get a sweat going on, not from the sun, but actually like running around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But here's my biggest thing. We're going to do the commander room one here, Elif. This was fairly recent. He was out campaigning for Hillary. We all know how that one went. And he had a little bit of a heckler. And just the way he handles these situations, I really enjoyed it.
Hey. Listen up. Hey, everybody. Everybody. Hey. Listen up. Hey, I told you to be focused, and you're not focused right now. Listen to what I'm saying. Hold up. Everybody sit down and be quiet for a second. Now listen up. I'm serious. Listen up. You've got an older gentleman who is supporting his candidate. He's not doing nothing. You don't have to worry about him. You should. This is what I mean about folks not being focused. First of all, hold up. First of all, we live in a country that respects free speech. So, second of all, it looks like maybe he might have served in our military, and we got to respect that. Third of all, he was elderly, and we got to respect our elders. And fourth of all, don't boo. Boo! Don't boo. Boo! Come on. Now, I want you to pay attention. Because if we lose focus, we could have problems.
So that's just right. Now, how different is that from what we hear from, let's just say, others? Roger, you like that one?
That was a good one.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. He had a tough time. Reminds me of some days back in the classroom.
It's not easy to get everyone's attention, right?
No, he had a lot more people to deal with, too, than I had. I only had like 30 kids at
right.
a time, you know.
And you weren't the president, but he's sitting there, you know, screaming, hold up. It took a lot. Yeah. But that was a guy who was protesting. That was a guy who was trying to cause a ruckus.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, that dude's allowed to have his opinion. Let's respect him. For a million different reasons.
Yeah.
That level-headedness. Going to miss that, Roger. Going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's my...
You picked some good points.
Yeah.
You picked some very good points.
Yeah. So, at any rate... 312-981-7200. When we get to 3:30, we will hear a little bit from the Cubs convention tonight. We're gonna start with a pal of yours, Roger.
Oh,
we're gonna play a little Fergie Jenkins for you.
I love Fergie. Do you know his history? I mean, seriously.
Oh, I know it.
This is back in a day when starting pitchers pitched full games.
Oh, I asked him about it.
They didn't take him out in the sixth inning. They didn't take him out after 100 pitches. Not only did this guy pitch full games, but he won them like crazy every year, double-digit winners. It's just amazing. And nothing wrong with his arm.
Yeah, no, I asked him about that. I think you'll enjoy his response about
Excellent.
That. 815 texting, and President Obama is the classiest, best president we will ever know. I don't know about who we will ever know. That's, you know,
we don't know who's in the right. future. Yeah,
but if you go back over time, at least for, you know, when I go back. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of really classy things. I got to tell you, the Bush sisters writing to...
wasn't that great?
It was amazing. Truly amazing. And that bond, Michelle Obama with George, with W,
mm-hmm.
is super cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. I have grown to have a lot more respect for W over the years,
mm-hmm.
Since he's been out of office. In office, that's another story. But out of office, as far as like what kind of guy he is and the way that they have treated / gotten along with the president,
mm-hmm.
first lady, their kids, all class, man. That has been all class. Really cool. 312-981-7200 if you want to talk about the outgoing president or anything. Hey man, you want to dial in on what else is going on politically, if you can, you feel free.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hi. So I was just saying, I've seen the president in person in large crowds 3 times.
Uh-huh.
The first one was the March after he had been elected to the Senate. So I think this was like in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just back in town for the St. Patrick's Day parade. And he was walking with Dick Durbin. I was right up against the barricade. So I was like real close to, you know, the parade itself. And Dick Durbin was closer to me than Obama was. So when Obama turned to talk to Dick Durbin, I happened to overhear it right as they were passing right by me.
Uh-huh.
So he was saying to Dick Durbin, not to the crowd, not to anybody, but just his friend Dick Durbin, he said, "Oh, I miss this place." And it was amazing to me because it's like he loves this place so much. And then when he was here in town the other day for the farewell, and when he got on stage and he said, "I miss this place." And it was like a flashback to that moment where it's like he is so authentic and so genuine. And the person that he was just talking to his friend, walking down the street in the parade, is the person that we see. And then the second time that I had seen him was at the rally right after he had announced that he was running for president. It was downtown, I think, at the Hyatt. It was like an AFSCME meeting. And I was not alive when the Beatles, you know, were. I was a baby when the Beatles broke up.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the feeling that that's what Beatlemania was like, because the crowd was electric. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And I've seen him once after he was actually a president, same thing, where it was just overwhelming, the amount of love, the energy, that just being in the same room with him, it was amazing. He's an amazing person. I'm going to miss him so much.
It's almost emotional, right, Melanie?
Very. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Melanie. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.
312-981-7200. There is a charisma to him that the president is the president is the president. I mean, I guess Bill Clinton had that when he would walk in a room. I'm sure, you know, I don't know. Maybe George W. had some of that going on, but there's something different with Obama. There's just a grace to him. I don't know how to put it. It's just the way he walks. It's like there's just such a confidence, but also I can't really explain it, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Hey, Julie, welcome to WGN. What's going on, Julie?
Hey, good morning, Mark. What a fabulous show. I don't know which part I like better, the part about the Cubs or the part about the president. Keep it up.
We're in a celebration overnight, Julie.
Absolutely. And I always think of Stephen Downing, who used to say, "A good night's sleep is greatly overrated." So I'm happy to be awake.
I don't know if I agree with that. I do love my sleep, but I love you being up, Julie. Appreciate you.
You bet. Well, I heard a story the other day about Obama and Biden that I'd like to hear the rest of the story. Biden was having some, his son was having some medical problems, and he was having financial problems connected with them. And it seems Biden was going to sell his house.
Right.
To get some money. I've not heard any other details. And Obama is the one who told him.
I got it for you, Julie. It was Biden's oldest son. He was going to resign from as Delaware's attorney general because he had health concerns. And so Obama, I guess Joe was going to sell his house to so his son wouldn't resign. This was all in an interview. And let's see. Obama basically stepped in and said that he would. Biden said he told the president he was worried about caring for Beau's family without his son's salary. And I said, but it worked out. Biden recalled telling Obama, I said, Jill and I will sell the house and we'll be in good shape. And Obama pushed back vehemently on the thought of Biden and his wife selling their home. He got up and said, don't sell the house. Promise me you won't sell the house. He said, I'll give you the money, whatever you need. I'll give you the money. Don't, Joe. Promise me. I don't think we're going to have to. Anyway, he said, promise me. So he stepped in with his own dough. A lot of people think,
there you go.
I mean, it's kind of amazing to me that the vice president's having some financial issues.
Didn't somebody once say a friend in need is a friend indeed?
Yep, that's a beautiful thing.
And there's two friends that we're going to remember as friends.
Yeah. All right, Julie. Appreciate you. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks so much.
No problem.
Mark, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Julie. So I thought just this week, outside of the Obama Biden moment from earlier this week, was I just thought incredible.
You see it in the way that his eyes light up when he finds somebody in a rope line from Scranton, or just the tiniest towns in Delaware. You see it in the incredible loyalty of his staff. The team who knows that family always comes before work because Joe tells them so every day. The team that reflects their boss's humble service here in this building where there have been no turf wars between our staffs because everybody here has understood that we were all on the same mission and shared the same values. There's just been cooperation and camaraderie, and that is rare. It's a testament to Joe and the tone that he set. And finally, you see Joe's heart in the way he consoles families, dealing with cancer backstage after an event, when he meets kids fighting through a stutter of their own. He gives them his private phone number and keeps in touch with them long after. To know Joe Biden is to know that love without pretense, service without self-regard, and to live life fully. As one of his longtime colleagues in the Senate, who happened to be a Republican, once said, if you can't admire Joe Biden as a person, you've got a problem. He is as good a man as God ever created. So, Joe, for your faith in your fellow Americans, for your love of country, and for your lifetime of service that will endure through the generations, I'd like to ask the military aide to join us on stage. For the final time as president, I am pleased to award our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
So that was just awesome, right? And radio doesn't do it justice with the tears.
And for the first and only time in my presidency, I will bestow this medal with an additional level of veneration, an honor my three most recent successors reserved for only three others, Pope John Paul II, President Ronald Reagan, and General Colin Powell. Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to award the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction to
to my brother, Joseph Robinette Biden, Jr. Will the aide please read the citation?
Vice President Joseph R. Biden, Jr. In a career of public service spanning nearly half a century, Vice President Joseph R. Biden, Jr. has left his mark on almost every part of our nation, fighting for a stronger middle class, a fairer judicial system, and a smarter foreign policy, providing unyielding support for our troops, combating crime and violence against women, leading our quest to cure cancer, and safeguarding the landmark American Recovery and Reinvestment Act from corruption. With his charm, candor, unabashed optimism, and deep and abiding patriotism, Joe Biden has garnered the respect and esteem of colleagues of both parties and the friendship of people across the nation and around the world. While summoning the strength, faith, and grace to overcome great personal tragedy, this son of Scranton, Claymont, and Wilmington has become one of the most consequential vice presidents in American history, an accolade that nonetheless rests firmly behind his legacy as husband, father, and grandfather. A grateful nation thanks Vice President Joseph R. Biden, Jr. for his lifetime of service on behalf of the United States of America.
And there you go. There you go. It's interesting, too. I mean, he reelected in the Senate six different times before he finally becomes the vice president in 2009. Pretty long, 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 long list of service there. I just thought that was awesome. And well deserved too. I mean, the dude is, keep on calling these elected officials dudes, but I think that's okay. He's 74 years old, Joe Biden, I want to say. Lifetime of service. Seeing a grown man like that just well up and tear up,